23. As a teen, I got a job at Suncoast Motion Picture Company because I thought I could watch movies all summer. They only played one the whole time, and sadly, it was Space Jam. 24. I took ballroom dancing classes with Julia Roberts for 2003's Mona Lisa Smile. Her greatest acting challenge to date was pretending like it didn't hurt when I stepped on her toes. And 25. I dropped out of college to take my first acting role. And that is 25 Things You Don't Know About Me by Topher Grace. That concludes today's readings from Us Weekly. This has been Lydia Coppell for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Downtown Farmers Market. The Midland Downtown Farmers Market is back to hosting a market every week at the Museum of the Southwest. The new schedule begins Saturday with extended hours, 8 a.m. to noon. Visit local vendors on the lawn of the Museum of the Southwest.
Now here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 61 and mostly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's Oil and Gas Report for Saturday, April 17th. The environmental update. Important things happening in environmental arena. The story was written by Mala McEwen. Oil and gas operators can expect to see more environmental regulations, fueled largely by a public and investor community concerned about the industry's environmental footprint. Quote, "It's coming, and everyone has to understand how they will have to meet those regulations," said Joe Etheridge, founder and chief technical officer at Encino Environmental Services. Quote, "My sense is important things are happening in the environmental arena," said Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Services. "One, there's a new sheriff in town," he said, referring to the new Biden administration. "The new president is bringing the Environmental Protection Agency and Department of Interior back into the mentality the agencies had during the Obama administration," he said. Etheridge said regulations that could be coming under President Biden actually have their roots in the Obama administration. The Obama administration used 10 years of emissions reports to establish a baseline for greenhouse gas and methane emissions, he explained. Schwartzwelder said he is seeing regulations that began in the Rocky Mountains making the way into other producing regions. He cited New Mexico, where new regulations limiting venting and flaring are about to take effect. Quote, "That foreshadows what will happen in Texas," Schwartzwelder said. Third, he said his company is seeing more and more need to have data available to certify what companies are doing to mitigate or eliminate emissions. Beyond proving their actions to regulators and environmental groups, Schwartzwelder said capital markets, bankers, and investor relations are all becoming more sensitive to the energy industry's environmental impact and how companies handle their operations. Even smaller operators are feeling pressure to eliminate or mitigate emissions and flaring and show how they're doing so, he said. Luis Vasquez, environmental manager at OTA, said technology currently being utilized, especially airplanes flying over the region with emissions detecting sensors, can pinpoint areas that operators need to inspect more closely. Quote, it's boots on the ground, he said. Look for leaks, repair them, and make sure repairs are done right. End quote. Etheridge, visiting Midland recently to participate in the energy think tank's emissions monitoring and reporting roundtable, says he likes technology like Honeywell Rebellion's gas cloud imaging systems and technology. Such technology can help operators understand emissions at a granular level and determine what is being emitted and in what concentration. In the face of looming regulations and the scramble to understand what exactly is being emitted, quote, this technology is a step in the right direction, Etheridge said. Robert Kester, president of Honeywell Rebellion, said during that same roundtable that continuous data monitoring not only lets the customers using his company's system detect leaks, but offers an added layer of protection, providing alerts to potentially dangerous leaks. Quote, companies are setting ambitious emissions targets to satisfy stakeholders, he said. They can't just say they're going to net zero. They have to be able to certify emissions reductions, end quote. Environmental groups, regulators, investors, and the public are counting on the increased pressure to address emissions, quote, to force you to come up with something to address the situation, Vasquez said. While flaring and emissions may be the most visible issue, Schwarzwelder said operators should also expect actions on the industry's use of water as well. Just as data is vital to addressing emissions, he said data will also be needed to document how operators are increasing their use of recycled produced water and decreasing the use of fresh water. Quote, you don't know how you're performing without data, observed Vasquez. If you captured that data, it may be good to see how you're performing, end quote. The silver lining in the new administration's pro-environment focus may be that operators, quote, have a better idea of how they're performing and can take a proactive approach, end quote. Agreed Schwarzwelder, quote, you have to actually show how your flaring intensity has dropped, how your use of recycled produced water has gone up, and your use of fresh water has gone down. Then you will have people paying attention, end quote. Brian Sheffield pledges $15 million for SMU expansion. Brian Sheffield Hall will be designed to teach collaboration, data-driven problem-solving, and customer engagement. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Innovation has sent the energy industry to historic growth levels over the last two decades, and one beneficiary of that good fortune is acting to pay it forward. Brian Sheffield, former chief executive officer, chairman, and executive chairman of Parsley Energy, and his wife Cheryl, have pledged $15 million to Southern Methodist University's Edwin L. Cox School of Business to establish Brian Sheffield Hall. In announcing the gift, Sheffield, now founder and managing partner of Formentera Partners, an energy-focused investment firm based in Austin, first reflected on his time in Midland. Quote, in my time there, I was able to see firsthand the value of the people, the culture, and my own family roots in Midland, he said, in remarks provided to the Reporter Telegram. Quote, your word is your bond. Midland helped me build Parsley Energy and lay the foundation for today. I'm very fortunate for that town, end quote. Matthew B. Myers, dean of Cox School and Tolleson Chair in Business Leadership, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview that the new building will be a major new portion of the school's planned renovation and expansion project. He said groundbreaking is expected in May 2022, with the building opening in May 2024. Sheffield Hall will include up-to-date classrooms on the lower level designed for collaboration and data-focused problem-solving. Meyer said it will house undergraduate programs in the school's Bachelor of Business Administration program, including admissions, academic advising, and student records. Faculty offices will be located on the second floor. He noted that the Sheffield family has helped the school with its energy programs, committing to create the Scott Sheffield Energy Investment Lab in the McGuire Energy Institute in 2014. But, he said, the new facility will not focus only on energy. Quote, "This will support new students and the new way of engaging students," he said. "It will house more quantitative programs and hands-on programs where students work with companies directly," end quote. In addition to faculty offices, the second floor of Sheffield Hall will house the Brierley Institute for Customer Engagement, which brings together students, marketing faculty, and corporate leaders to explore why customers engage with brands and how that engagement drives loyalty and value. Quote, "I think that's why we're here today. I know that SMU and Cox sees it, and it's why we're building this hall. We're going to empower future leaders, train them with the skills to be good stewards of our pocketbooks and our environment," Sheffield said. He continued, quote, "We need this building. We need leaders who know how to create a smart business. More than that, we need people who understand the value of relationships and have a competitive drive to keep pushing," end quote. Meyer said another reason the school is honoring Brian is because he is a young alumnus of the school who advanced rapidly in his career. "That makes him a great example for the school's students, faculty, and officials," he said. Texas Tech, premier oilfield group, to jointly operate Core Repository. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. Geoscientists are gaining increased access to new data to assist in their work. Texas Tech University and Premier Oilfield Group have formed a public-private partnership for Tech's Core Repository at 503 South Marienfeld in downtown Midland. Tech received the repository from ExxonMobil in 2019, a facility that houses more than 230,000 geological rock core samples and cuttings taken from oil wells. The Tech repository, now known as the Texas Tech Core Repository, powered by Premier Oilfield Group, joins Premier's existing collection of more than 300,000 well cuttings and core samples at its Midlands Library. Randall Witchuk, Chief Executive Officer of Premier Oilfield Group, cited his company's experience in operating its own repositories in enhancing its ability to help Tech. Quote, "The value of the data there will grow as we develop and others develop it," he told a reporter Telegram by telephone. Continuing the quote, "It's rock, but there's information in those rocks and how decisions are made. It's meaningful to us, to operators in the Permian Basin and future generations," end quote. Geoscientists, he explained, do samples and tests on the rocks, but then preserve the rocks. Quote, "As techniques improve, they can go back to get a whole new story from those rocks," end quote. Between his company's repository and the addition of Tech's repository, Wechuk says there are samples from the 1930s and last week. He said he, quote, "loves being around geologists and the excitement they get when they see the samples. They see what we don't see," end quote. Wechuk added, quote, "The way I look at it from our side is we need to develop resources economically, efficiently, and in an environmentally friendly way. The best information on doing that is from the subsurface," end quote. Access to the wells, and the associated geological data from the core and cuttings is made available through DataStack, Premier's proprietary online search engine and marketplace. Premier and Texas Tech will work together to continue expanding this collection and make all samples and data available for access. Wiechek said he sees it as the partnership's mission to accept donations and grow the collection. This public-private partnership is a first of its kind at Texas Tech and for Premier, he said. It will open doors for university researchers, including those in the Texas Tech Department of Geosciences, giving access to Premier Oil Field Group's global laboratories in Midland and Houston, as well as use of large volumes of geological data and rock samples available through the Premier Sample Library and DataStack system.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. This is the oil page. This column is entitled, Oil Markets Are a Long Way from Back to Normal. Commentary by Julian Lee, Bloomberg. We're all pinning our hopes on vaccines to free us to meet friends and family, travel, and return something like our normal lives. Oil market forecasters, too, are finally getting a little more optimistic about the recovery in demand that should accompany that return. But a closer look shows we're just not there yet. In their latest monthly reports, the International Energy Agency, the U.S. Energy Information Administration, and the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries all raised their oil demand estimates for 2021. It's the first time since they began publishing such forecasts that they've all been more optimistic than they were a month earlier. As you look a little deeper into the forecasts, one thing becomes abundantly clear. All three agencies are a lot more optimistic about the second half of the year than they are about the first half. That's not surprising, but it does raise some yellow flags for caution. The forecasts are very dependent on the vaccines against COVID-19 being rolled out even more extensively than they are now, and on the inoculations proving effective against variants of the disease that have fueled second or even third wave of infections in some countries. Alongside vaccines, the agencies say their newfound optimism stems from the more upbeat outlook from the International Monetary Fund, which has raised its global economic growth forecast for the second time in 3 months. While President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package is a contributing factor, the IMF's bullishness also hangs, to a large extent, on the widespread rollout of effective coronavirus vaccines. That means the oil soothsayers are doubling down on vaccines. And yet, it's far too early to say whether they'll provide the deliverance that we're all pining for, much less when. We must avoid getting carried away with our optimism. Mass vaccination campaigns hit headwinds last week from growing concerns over potential links between rare but dangerous blood clots and the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson shots. The European Union may not renew orders with either company, meaning it wouldn't have 75% of its population fully vaccinated until December. The U.S. could also face setbacks from a pause in administering J&J's vaccines. Japan's vaccination drive only finally got going on Monday. The unequal rollout across the world leaves large populations unprotected, a huge reservoir of potential hosts in which the coronavirus can continue to mutate, possibly in ways that are more dangerous. And this brings us back to oil demand. The easing of restrictions in the U.S. and the U.K. has led to a dramatic recovery in the demand for road fuels, particularly the gasoline used to power private vehicles in the U.S. Gasoline deliveries, a proxy for demand, are within a whisker of their highest level since the pandemic began. Just 60,000 barrels a day, or 0.6% below a post-pandemic peak, reached at the height of last year's summer driving season, they are likely to surpass that level very soon. In the UK, government data show road use was at 91% of pre-pandemic levels on April 12th, although private cars still lagged some way behind commercial vehicles. but air travel is still languishing and may continue to do so. Although U.S. passenger numbers hit their highest level since the start of the pandemic over Easter weekend, they were still more than a third down on the same point in 2019, according to data from the Transport Safety Administration. And that's in a country where domestic flights account for a large part of the total. International flights are lagging much further behind, with cross-border travel still severely restricted across most of the world. Even if those restrictions are eased over the coming months, opening borders in time for summer holidays in the Northern Hemisphere won't necessarily result in the sort of surge in flights that may be needed to achieve the most recent oil demand forecasts. If flying remains too onerous in terms of costly COVID tests, quarantine, or self-isolation requirements, people may choose to holiday far closer to home for a second year instead. The UK's Heathrow Airport, the country's busiest, is already reporting incoming passenger waiting times of up to 6 hours. And that's before foreign travel rules are relaxed. The picture for travel, and with it for the continued recovery in oil demand, may well be rosier than it was a month ago. But we're still a long way from being back to normal.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Enjoy the Mania While It Lasts by Dennis Elam, associate professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Dogecoin is up 400% this past week. The IPO of Coinbase renders its CBO an instant $17 billion. Now that's some coin. Robinhood Brokerage is unable to process all the client crypto trades. Goldman and Morgan handily beat earnings estimates. Crude oil nears $64 on expectations of greater demand as more venture out from the COVID lockdown. The high-flying NASD 100 doubles in 1 year. The pullback the last 2 months resets the index for more gains. The hemline indicator posits that fashions are more revealing during stock market manias. Indeed, even mainstream Yahoo.com has featured Elizabeth Hurley and Salma Hayek in their skimpiest bikinis. And positive sentiment, hello Buzz Lightyear, extends to infinity and beyond. Richard Branson is planning consumer space travel. SpaceX boss Elon Musk has said the next major flight test of the Mars-bound Starship craft will take place next week. The Pentagon confirms photos of unidentified aerial phenomena captured in 2019. This is an echo of American landing on the moon subsequent to the DJIA reaching 1,000 for the first time in 1966. The movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, suggests lunar travel, much as is being discussed today. Mathematically speaking, a rally might be arithmetic with a slope of 1.5 times. A mania exhibits a geometric scope. The slope is raised to a power, not just a multiplier. Such events are rare. The first in modern times was Tulip Mania in Holland in 1636. The South Sea Bubble occurred in England in 1720. The United States has endured numerous ups and downs, such as the Panic of 1907 and the Roaring Twenties, followed by the Crash of 1929. Ralph Elliott postulated that markets move in a three-step one way, two-step the other fashion. Both the NASD and the NDX appear to be in their fifth wave up. That suggests a top in the next few months. Parabolic increases usually collapse in a near vertical move down, a mirror of the move up. Last week I suggested several potential worries, but all that is overlooked as the markets celebrate coming out of COVID. Add to the list Russia incursion on the Ukraine and China's continued expansion into the South China Sea. A retired admiral just published a book titled 2034, predicting a war between China and the U.S. As commodity prices boom, bond prices advanced yesterday, the opposite of what one might think. Expect a bond rally for some weeks, retracing the first quarter rise in interest rates. Or, as Hal Holbrook remarked to Charlie Sheen in Wall Street, enjoy it while it lasts, because it never does. The Economist. Dollar Votes by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Measures to restrict voter access are under consideration in Texas and elsewhere. Irrespective of politics, such laws have substantial adverse economic consequences. We recently examined this issue in detail. The costs could potentially include billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of Texas jobs over the next few years. You can see the full report at www.perrymangroup.com. Perryman Group. Research has shown that controlling for other factors, decreases in voting access, leads to lower earnings, which in turn impact workforce participation and employment. Reduced earnings then negatively affect household budgets and spending. In addition, losses occur from reduced travel and tourism. Laws which decrease attendees, for example, often cause conference and event planners to avoid specific areas. Some organizations will also go elsewhere to remove the appearance of approval of the public policy, as indicated by the recent move of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game from Atlanta. The loss of such major events brings significant costs. Both Dallas and Houston are under consideration for major roles in the 2026 FIFA World Cup, the world's largest sporting event, and one which puts considerable emphasis on rights issues in selecting sites. If Texas were to miss the opportunity to be a primary host of the World Cup due to voter suppression, the state could sacrifice almost $3.8 billion in gross product, compared to nearly $1.8 billion for a Super Bowl and $369 million for a Final Four. Socially conscious consumers also seek to avoid discriminatory areas for business and leisure travel. Similarly, controversial laws diminish the ability to attract knowledgeable workers and the companies that employ them, thus reducing long-term economic development prospects. We estimate that measures restricting voter access would lead to an overall decrease in business activity from lower earnings, employment, and household purchasing power in Texas by 2025 of minus $14.7 billion in annual gross product and minus 73,249 jobs, including multiplier effects. External losses from tourism and economic development could cause aggregate decreases of another $16.7 billion less in annual gross product and a minus 149,644 jobs by 2025. These losses compound over time. Business activity also generates tax revenue. The potential effects associated with measures restricting voter access would cost the state and local governments hundreds of millions of dollars annually. Access to voting improves earnings, consumer spending, tourism, and development. Conversely, laws restricting access lead to substantial economic and fiscal losses over time. While there are many other important advantages to and compelling reasons for encouraging political participation by all eligible citizens, The economic ramifications are substantial and worthy of significant attention as restrictions on voter access are considered. It is unlikely that we will remove the politics from this discussion, but we should definitely be cognizant of the economics as well. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading out of the Odessa American, published Sunday, April 18, 2021. I'll be reading from the Lifestyle section. Crime Prevention Starts With You, by Levi Stone, RN, MSN. My neighborhood was abuzz last week with several posts to social media about a man casing homes and going door to door attempting to enter unlocked houses. It prompted many discussions among neighbors to request assistance from the police department and in sharing ideas on ways to better secure our homes and property. From break-ins and burglaries to assaults and package thefts, the byproduct of crime is a negative